We're in the doctor's surgery. Well, perhaps not an ordinary doctor. We're in a room with a bed where two men, elegantly dressed, seem to be having some kind of altercation with a woman who's wearing a mask. She's thrashing about on a bed while the men try and restrain her. Or are they trying to encourage her? My shadow looms on the screens. The same scene is on each side. One played slightly faster than the other. They're out of sync. Yes, she seems to have gone quiet now. She's wearing a mask to protect her identity. Oh, she's thrashing about again. She looks almost like she's playing it up for the camera. This footage, grainy and black and white, comes from a medical archive, and it's part of a work by Douglas Gordon from the mid-1990s. It's called Hysterical, and the woman is obviously having an hysterical attack in a sanatorium somewhere in Switzerland, or in Turin, in 1906. We're in the exhibition Subversive Spaces, Surrealism and Contemporary Art at the Whitworth Art Gallery in Manchester University, and it's one of the most ambitious shows they put on here. Where shall we begin? Well, we have begun, I suppose, but you know me. Let's begin at the end. Let's begin at the wrong end, literally and metaphorically. And we're now standing in front of a large colour photograph that fills the wall, staring into a sewage pipe in Los Angeles. It is, you might say, the arsehole of the world. And four elegant people, modern elegant, not like those slightly dodgy physicians that we just saw, hanging around outside the sewage pipe. Yes. Well, what to make of this? There they are, the filthy water coming out of the pipe, them in their elegant clothes. White shoes, not perhaps quite the thing to wear. This is by a group called ASCO, and it's called Asshole Mural from 1974. And that noise behind us is from another video of a man called Salin Dan. Excuse me if I haven't pronounced his name right. And unlike those Chicano and Mexican-American artists by that tube of sewerage, in this, a man is carrying... he's carrying a door around Bucharest. It's 1974, in the days of communism. He's just been playing football with some kids. It's quite wild. It's fun. There he goes. An everyday, ordinary door. Here and there he goes. And here and there go we. We are wandering hither and thither. Goodbye to Sample City. Hello, 1912. Some photographs by Eugène Acher of Paris. The Ancien Passage de Pont Neuf. Wreckage, timbers, shored up buildings. And the Pont Neuf Arcade, where you can imagine Walter Benjamin wondering and thinking about consumerism and spectacle. How strange it is, Subversive Spaces, the Subversive City. Wow, and here comes a building collapsing by the American artist Gordon Matter Clark, who drilled holes through entire buildings and sawed them up. Matter Clark used to walk through Paris with his father, the surrealist painter Eugène Matter. I wonder as a child if he ever thought about wreaking his revenge on the father by destroying the places where he'd visited. It's a thought. This exhibition is divided into little corridors and cells and areas. We're still outdoors, and there are some paintings by George Shaw, who grew up in an English Midlands town and made a whole series of works called The Passion, about the outskirts of suburbia and of the post-war new town. The abandoned children's slide, litter-strewn parkland, wet leaves, a place where there should be children's swings, but the swings have gone, leaving only a frame. Sort of place where you might want to hang yourself. It's night now, and we've changed cities. We're in Bilbao, in the Basque country, where a woman in a long white coat is walking the streets under those flaring streetlights. She's an insomniac, Marie-Ange Guilleminot. And this is a work called Nuit Blanche, or White or Sleepless Night. And here is her coat, hung on a mannequin, draped on a mannequin. And next to it is a little handbag, which looks like a woman's body with breasts. Well, I wouldn't wander the streets of Bilbao day or night dressed like that. Or would I? Oh, if I were only younger. If I were only younger, I might ride a bike through Manhattan without holding onto the handlebars, careening down, or is it up, Broadway, against the traffic. Ooh. I guess she's got the camera on her hat, or strapped to her chest. Or is it a he? It is a he. You see, I can't even get the sex right. So subversive is this exhibition. I didn't realize that this video by Rainer Ganachel is risking life and limb. Oh, he's gonna go through Macy's window in a minute. No, there he goes. He might run over Frank O'Hara if he's lucky, or unlucky. Poor Frank. I'm getting lost now. Around and round we go in the dark. Another dark space. Ooh, don't know what was going on in that one. As well as real streets and real places, we also have the spaces of the mind. And we are inches away from this drawing, which heaves and pulsates with quivering line. Faces seem to emerge and then disintegrate, eyes and mouths, and more of those awful little assholes and noses and ears seem to be growing in this mescaline drawing by Henri Michaux, one of my favourite of the 20th century's perhaps lesser artists, but a great artist nonetheless, and a poet. He took mescaline in a number of experiments, so he called them, and tried to draw under the influence. It all looks like tree bark that's exploding with life. If he kept going, perhaps he'd disappear into it. And it's also like the interior of the body somehow, ganglions, fibers. Or perhaps it's like being buried alive, stones, worms, earth, death. There's no escape for any of us here. We are now about to enter a completely dark installation by the German artist Gregor Schneider. And I'm going to proceed through a pair of curtains, and I don't know what's going to happen next. Do people get lost inside here?
Yeah, quite regularly, actually.
Do you have to come and find them?
Yeah, occasionally people have to be rescued with a torch. Well, it's just the spatial sort of awareness gets completely taken away by the darkness.
So. Oh, great. Great. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, hopefully I won't have to rescue you, then.
Okay, if you hear the word help,
yeah,
it'll be me.
That's a cue to come over the
Thank
torch.
You very much. Okay, on we go into this work, which is which is called Kinderzimmer. So it's a kind of kid's bedroom, but it's... Oh, we're going in the... Hang on, I can't see anything in front of me as I twirl through the curtains. Ooh, there's another one. I twirl through the curtains, wander into the darkness, which is absolute. Although there does seem to be a door in the distance as I... And I sort of see a reflection in the wall. Is there a reflection? Or is it me? Hang on. We're opening a door. Oh dear. The ceiling is inches above my head. The floor is a nasty lino. The ceiling is pink. The wallpaper seems to be bubbling slightly on one wall. And it doesn't smell very nice. Yes, it must be a Gregor Schneider installation. But the most strange thing is the fog. There's a slight fog which fills the room, although it seems to be dissipating a bit. And a mirror. I see a mirror. Well, perhaps it's not. I think I look normal. Kinderzimmer, it's a child's room. And that wallpaper goes all around. It's a sort of nasty vinyl. It's all up the wall and all on the floor. And I'm beginning to imagine, although this probably sounds terribly crass, I'm beginning to imagine a room in Austria. A basement. But in fact, this... I'm trying to get out of the room now. Whoa! We're in the darkness again now. And I can't see anything. And this is actually based on... Oh, hang on. I thought there was a wall there. There isn't one, and it's just more emptiness. And a light, and a window through which I look into the room we've just left. Except it's identical, except for a little mattress on the floor. Little red child's mattress. And I seem to have come up against something. A curtain. I don't know if I'm supposed to go through that. Whoop! I'm walking sideways like a crab till I find the end of this wall and help. Help! I seem to be into an opening now. Oh dear. And if I turn off this little recording machine, the little red light will go out. That seems to be saving me from going completely bonkers. I hope I see you later. Mayday, mayday. Oh. We're back in the bedroom again, the one without the mattress. And I don't know which way is out. Well, luckily the light switch doesn't work. So it might... Just bear with me. We're still here. And there does seem to be a glimmer of light coming from somewhere. And they're coming into a slightly lighter space with a view of a closed window, shuttered window, as in a brick wall. Okay, this is somewhere in the Ruhr Valley where Schneider comes from. The outside of a house which I understand is going to be demolished to make way for some open cast coal mining. We have some... Oh, it's gone out now. got dark again. Ooh. I thought that was the way out. We're going down the street. The camera slowly making its way between abandoned buildings. It's like a dream. Or possibly a nightmare. There's that door again. Oh dear. We're on our way out now. The wrong way out. But that's not where I came in. And there's those doctors with that thrashing woman. Oh dear. Plunged into the bedroom now, where one of Sarah Lucas's assemblages is mounted. I last saw this in Sigmund Freud's house in Hampstead in about 2000. It's a couple of chairs, with one wearing a pair of white fronts and a vest, and the other a bra and panties, and the long strip light emerges from the guy's pants and thrusts itself under the chair, which I guess is a stand-in for the woman. And the chair is on a table which once sat in Maresfield Gardens in Hampstead, where Freud lived out the last years of his life. And as we walk on past paintings by René Magritte, a leg coming out of the wall, why do we only see the same Robert Gober works again and again in this country? Why have we never had one of his huge installations here? I guess now, in the current economic climate, we'll have to wait a good few more years. And we're in another kind of labyrinth, grey-walled, going from one section of the show to the other. Voyage around a bedroom, this space says, and in it there is another Gober. It's a child's playpen, but one slanted at an awful angle, in a sort of strange rhomboid, as if it's been twisted and warped, not by some playful kid wrecking it as he shakes around inside the playpen, but by some kind of terrible psychic force. And I feel a fairly terrible psychic force coming on myself. Ooh, a willy. Louise Bourgeois' Filette, this wonderful cock and bull story. A sculpture which is partly little girl, partly erect penis. Child abuse is what this work, this particular element, comes from. A series of photographs that Bourgeois did for Art Forum magazine, in which she wreaked her revenge on her father's love affair with little Louise's nanny or governess, who was English, in the early part of the 20th century. Paul Delvaux, strange paintings of Brussels with trams and naked women, indoors and outdoors, confused, more videos, another Schneider in fact, footage from Die Family Schneider, the two houses he populated with identical twins, two sets of identical twins in East London a few years ago. Truly upsetting work, and I'm not sure if I really want to see the video of it, because how it lived in memory might be erased. Well, things get more and more obvious. Oh, in Mona Hatoum's version of a child's, another playpen really, or it's a cot, a hospital cot, nasty, nasty hospital cot on wheels, more like a prison really, and instead of a kind of spring base on the cot, which stands on its tall legs, there is tightly stretched wire. And next to this late post-surrealist object is a gigantic egg slice, again with stretched wires and that space for the egg, or a curled up baby perhaps. It's too overdone. I think we're heading back to the street now. There's the Belgian artist Francis Alice, who lives in Mexico, but at the moment he seems to be in London, wandering around smoking a cigar, which is a good sort of surrealist motif. Never forget what Freud said about the cigar either. Sometimes it's just a smoke. And he's carrying a stick in the other hand, which he's rattling along street railings and banging on the colonnades of a rather nice London square. Surprised he's not been arrested yet. And out. Where shall we go next? Following Brassailles around Paris again, along the banks of the Seine, under colonnades, into dark corners, where we meet André Breton. There's a lot in this show, and on the whole, it's pretty terrific, I think. It's got one or two dead points. Some things that seem to be here more for illustrating an idea than because they are really intrinsically to do with the theme. Is there a theme? Is there a real relationship between surrealism and contemporary art? Well, yes, but I think the real ghost in the machine is, of course, Freud. And Charcot, Freud's teacher, who did his experiments at the Salpêtre Hospital in Paris and did so much to popularize the idea of female hysteria. Well, it's been quite a lot of male hysteria this afternoon too. I think I'd like to go and have a nice lie down somewhere and talk to someone. Not about my mother, but about what we've just been through. But then again, one thing always leads to a mother, doesn't it?